Hello, welcome to a podcast designed for students who have completed Education 10, Introduction to Learning. So let me begin with a quote from John Dewey. Yes, I know, I'm particularly fond of quoting John Dewey. But he wrote, "Education is the laboratory in which philosophic distinctions become concrete and are tested." And I think what he meant by that is that when you do something called education, you have to lay out all of your moral, epistemological cards, so to speak. Because whatever ideas you had in your head, whatever theories you had, you have to put them to the test in this thing called education, which means that you are influencing younger children's minds, perhaps. In a way that forces you to think really deeply about what you're doing. Is this the right knowledge? Do I invest in children understanding more about how to program computers? Is that going to increase their life chances, give them opportunities? Not that they would pursue that, but if we don't introduce things in school, and we're working with children who may not have it introduced to them in any other way, then it's on us to do something, if we care. That's why you can have all kinds of philosophic distinctions and ways that you think are happening, ways that you want society to be, but until you start teaching, those are words. But when you begin to work with children and youth, you're putting your beliefs, your ideas, your philosophic distinctions, as Dewey said, on the line. So that's why courses in education have a larger importance than, say, literature. And I know some of you are literature majors, and let me explain myself. I absolutely believe that a novel can change the world. Don't worry, there are many, many uses for literature, but it's not a profession. It's not something that requires application, and that's what education is. So when you took Education 10, Theories of Introduction to Learning, one of the things that we tried to do that you can go forward for yourself that I think would help you is all the work we did on examining your own learning, how you became an expert at something, instances when you learned facts, concepts, skills, morals, how those types of learning or learning experiences affected you. And now that you've reflected on your own learning process, your metacognitive strategy, so to speak, you can decide that, well, one is you have to agree that you can't generalize from data point of one, but knowing about your own learning can only help you reflect better on how children are learning and youth, so that you'll at the very least not make the assumption that everyone learns like you. Because I think in section and in sharing in the class, you found that people tend to have different methods, not styles, different ways we approach learning, but that most of us learn best when the content is related to something we already know, we're focused, the content is coming at us in various modalities, we get to see it, we get to hear it, we get to see maybe mathematical formulas that describe it, if it's a science concept. So that's one important thing. The other important thing that I want to point out is something that we mentioned in class a couple of times, is when you talk to teachers and go out and work with teachers, they generally aren't speaking in the same kind of ways that we did in the class, like, oh, this is a Vygotskian idea in education, or this is a Piagetian concept, or this is solidly, you know, innatist theory that Chomsky would probably agree with. And the reason is that And that's what courses do, is we focused on general concepts, general kind of transferable knowledge. There you go. Something that was in the course content, as a matter of fact. So when you get out in schools, you're almost always dealing in particulars. Like, there is a student in the class who's not quite learning to our expectations. There's a particular content or curriculum that we want to focus on because something in the world has happened. We're always dealing in very ungeneral ways in schools. We're almost always focused on solving problems that are very specific, whether they're involving a classroom of children who are maybe facing some challenges learning, or a particular student, or even a particular school that's trying to address something that's gone on. You know, let's say particular, you know, kids aren't getting along in the school, or there was an incident that happened in the high school where someone shared something on social media that really that was really inappropriate, or good things that have happened. So we're almost always dealing in specifics, and that's why when you go out to schools and you listen to teachers talk about what they're going to do and how they're going to approach learning and teaching, they tend not to speak in generalities. However, I will say that most teachers will say, yes, I've incorporated all those general theories of learning, and they inform my daily decisions. And I would also have to say that one thing that we know teachers make, well, it could be hundreds of decisions each minute about, I need to repeat this lesson, or so-and-so's not understanding, I need to make this clearer to him or her. So when you hear, you know, so it's not like teachers aren't thinking theoretically, they are. And if you ask them to articulate their theories, they generally can. But when you hear them talk, they're always solving specific problems. So I don't want you to think that, wow, this is just stuff we learn in school. No, you've learned this now, and it'll go with you. It'll transfer to your own work, if you choose to, with children and youth in schools and perhaps other settings. So that's something I thought that it would be good to explore. I would also say one thing about this nature-nurture thing is that what we learn in the class, and I began with this nature-nurture issues because it's much more commonly understood than, say, the learning and development. And that's something that we go back and forth all the time on. So you know that Vygotsky said that learning precedes development. So you have to be put in learning situations, and then your brain alters itself for certain kinds of learning. Whereas Piaget said in some types of learning that development precedes the learning. So we're waiting for development to happen so that students can make sense of, say, abstract concepts. So this is a constant argument in schools. Do we try to teach content or certain forms of learning, curriculum, to students, and that will pull them along, or do we wait till they're ready? And I'll give you an example that I read in the paper just this morning. That's what's so great about education, is you can almost always open the newspaper, any newspaper, and find something relevant to your field. So in this particular op-ed piece this morning, there was a professor who'd retired from, I believe, Sonoma State, and he was a math educator, or maybe a math professor. And his argument was that we've really made a silly decision in making all eighth graders take algebra on the belief that we need to try to erase the equity gap, we need to get rid of tracking, so to speak, although that's usually thought of as kind of an easy way to explain the achievement gap, tracking. I think it's a lot more complicated than tracking, but that's something that you'll discuss in Ed 60 or in other courses. So, and I have my own take on it, but But when we think about what his argument was, is that it was a silly idea to put all eighth graders into algebra because some of them were not developmentally ready. They weren't ready. Their brains were not prepared. So he's coming from almost a Piagetian or even Chomskyan view of learning, is that development must proceed. And we can all say that it wouldn't make sense to teach calculus to kindergartners, most of them anyway, the vast majority. They're just simply not prepared to, they're not ready to understand those concepts. Now, it could be that they're not ready because they haven't had the background knowledge. And by the way, I will say there are some concepts of calculus that kindergartners can understand. I won't go into those, but yeah, pre-calculus. So we want to keep thinking about what we call developmentally ready and pushing learning onto students, even if it might not be ready. We really don't know when each and every student is ready to understand, say, algebra. It's probably the eighth grade for many students. It may be earlier for some students. It may be the 10th grade for some students, when they have the brain function and the maturation to catch on. And if you try to teach before they're ready, then you're just frustrating them. They're not going to understand. And certainly Piaget argued that there were developmental landmarks for abstract tasks, which algebra absolutely is. Let X equal something. That's abstraction. X is standing for something that often we can't see. So nature, nurture, development, learning, those two things I hope are clear in our minds. And then finally, what you may have noticed is that we've talked a lot about life chances, and you'll learn more about that in later classes, but that's what we want to do. We want to prepare students to have as many life chances as possible. So one of the examples we used in class quite a bit is this idea of learning to code in, you know, learning to write computer code, programming. Do we do that? Do we spend some time on that? And each of you had a particular viewpoint on where, you know, should we do this? And it's still an open question. There isn't really a right or wrong answer. But I know that for many students in the state of California, across the country, if we don't introduce some kind of computer programming or CS concepts, computer science concepts, our students won't get it. And it could, at the end of the day, all these small pieces add up to decreasing their life chances. So that was what we talked about in providing children and youth. But the other thing I was trying to do is improve your life chances, which I believe as a teacher are still very much my responsibility, even though I'm working with adults, university students, who are argued to have their career path in mind and an idea of what they want to do. And what I try to do, what we try to do in the class, is to help you consider where you might go with this learning. And there are several ways, obviously. One is to become a teacher, a general ed teacher, teach fifth grade, teach high school social studies. The other way we talked about was being a teacher in special education, where if you're really compelled by learning and all the problems and possibilities that learning you face when you're trying to work with learners and learning, is special education. And we tried to put a different face on special ed. It's not a bad place. And then if you're compelled to work with students who many educators find it very frustrating to work with, then you should do that. The other option we thought is speech pathology, but there are many others. So what I'm hoping is that the class opened your eyes to some ways of using this knowledge that will increase your life chances. And I hope it'll stay with you, and I hope that you're always looking around considering, like, what am I learning today? Is it facts? Is it concepts? Can I generalize this knowledge? Those are all metacognitive skills that we hope that you've learned in the course. So, again, I always enjoy teaching this class. It makes me think about my own learning, and every day I think there's a new student that I think of when we do these classes, and I can look back and say, you know, that was effective, that worked. Or in some cases, boy, I wish I would have known now what I know then, or even I'm just not sure what we could have done to help that student. But we're always trying. Education is never finished. You're always working towards an ideal. Most of the teachers that I know go home and say, that lesson couldn't have gone better, even if it went well. So I want you to continue to learn about learning. I want you to know that the concepts and the tasks we ask you to do in the class, at least we thought they're meaningful and that they will apply to your work as you pursue whatever profession you go into. But as I said, we're going to have a particular bent towards going into working in schools in some capacity. We need you. The field needs you. The children and youth need you. So have a great rest of your summer or next quarter, and we hope to see you again in other courses and perhaps even our MA with credential. Which I will also say is, please feel free to email me or go to our website and find Celeste Hilberg's name. She's our Director of Teacher Education, or whoever is the Director of Teacher Education. I'm certainly hoping it's Celeste for many years. But find out, see what you can do. Teaching is the perfect profession for certain people. It's not for everybody, but it might be exactly right for you. So, take care. Goodbye.